I'd like to speak for a few minutes about ways in which we can look upon the world of samsara and experience our own lives within the flow of samsaric existence with eyes and a heart of compassion. When we see the suffering of the world, we see the suffering of those we love, when we experience our own suffering, and plumb its depths at times, it is natural and human to be deeply grieved. Master, when I was a young monk, would sometimes speak of what was referred to in Japan as the Great Grief. The Great Grief of the world's suffering, the great grief of impermanence, the great grief of death and of loss, when we learn to meditate. We learn to train. We eventually learn that we have a choice. So what we do with that grief. If we hold on to it, we could ask ourselves, why would we try to hold on to something so intensely painful? But in actual fact, we can hold on to it just because we actually don't know anything else to do with it. And we don't want to just ignore it. If we hold on to it, or we just try to sweep it under the carpet, pretend like we don't have those feelings, then of course, that grief itself and the underlying sensitivity don't get any air, so to speak. And the grief darkens, and the sensitivity can be coarsened for a while, but will always re-manifest at some point as an excruciating pain, an excruciating sensitivity. Well, of course, there is another way, the middle path, which is to allow oneself to feel that grief when it's there and to offer it to the eternal, not as an effort to get rid of it, but simply as a placing it on the altar of the heart, because, well, out of the realization that it's simply too big for us to be able to manipulate it and work magic on it. Just make it magically go away, drown it out, obliterate it. It just, none of these things will work. Holding on to it is just, it's like clutching a great pain to your chest. That doesn't work either. Placing it on the altar of the heart gives it that ventilation, that fresh air from the eternal, and allows a greater context to open up right within the grief, right out of the grief. A greater context, a context of, in which there's an upward looking, an upward movement of the spirit. A context in which there is the possibility, if one continues to do this through the years of one's life, a possibility that burgeons into a reality of a deeper spiritual perspective. We call wisdom. It places that grief in a context of acceptance. And it helps the heart open in love and compassion. Through wisdom, we come to know that that which suffers, that which arises and passes, that which comes into existence and then passes to extinction, seeming extinction in this material world, it all occurs in the context of cosmic love, the love of the eternal. And while there is on the surface of things this continual arising and passing of individuals, of moments, of social systems, of organizations, of species, of whole worlds. Of universes. While there is this inexorable arising and passing, that cosmic context of infinite love neither arises nor passes. And the eternal life of the cosmic Buddha neither comes to be nor passes away. In this context, with the understanding of this context, even if that understanding is, by the way, just an intuitive understanding, and I shouldn't say just an intuitive understanding because it's not like the intuitive understanding is a lesser understanding. The intuitive understanding is the foundation of all other real spiritual understanding. So even if it is an intuition and not something clearly grasped with the intellect, clearly understood or apprehended, that doesn't matter. For most of us, most of the time, it is more just on the intuitive level. And that level is entirely adequate and is directly linked to faith. At any rate, with that understanding, it is possible to act in this world, to give of one's effort, one's life, in the service of compassion. To do those things that are good to do, that help relieve suffering insofar as it can be relieved, that help preserve the happier states of existence, forms of existence, insofar as is possible to preserve them. To accept that inevitable change that is inevitable. To accept that suffering that cannot be prevented. To accept the passing away that is inevitable. And then to refrain from doing the things to make the general difficult situation worse. More difficult. To refrain from doing the things that make the great grief even greater. Refrain from doing the things that set the wheel of suffering rolling, not only for oneself, but for others. Insofar as one can do so. In all of this, there is no single act that we can do that is so essential and so helpful as simply to bring all of the need, all of the questions, whether consciously held or just felt or apprehended as a kind of burden on the heart, to bring all of it into meditation, place it on the altar of the heart, and look to the eternal, look to our own Buddha nature, to show the way through the difficulties, through the seeming obstacles, through the suffering, we cannot be Kanzan. We cannot wave a magic wand and simply have the sufferings of the world vanish. We can do something in our own lives, in our own immediate surroundings, to clean up some of the mess. And to do that, with an upward-looking, grateful, and generous heart.